John and I are on the beach at Titchwell in Norfolk. We walked right down to the beach along a pathway, quite a fair walk, and we're now on the beach. And we're doing what we call, John and I, Sea Watch. So depending how far the tide is out, whatever, we're looking at the shoreline to see what birds we can see. Hopefully some wading birds. Depends on the time of the year, depends too how far the tide is out. But that's what we're doing. We're also looking for any birds on the water or flying across, singly, sometimes in flocks. Sea watch. Beautiful day, blue sky. And while we're doing this, at some moment, I turn round and look inland towards the reserve. And as I'm looking up, flying over are two cranes. I said to John, cranes. We'd heard that they were around or in the vicinity. We'd never seen them before. And there they were, flying across. We're always expectant. You never know what you're going to see. We know Titchwell fairly well, and we could pretty much be sure of some of the species of birds that we will see. There are also those, every time we go, we're expectant, we would like to see. But we don't. Possible, but we don't actually see them. But we are expectant. And for us, Titchwell, we're in what I would call known territory. We know it. We're coming this evening to Psalm 100, which could be, for most of us here, is what I would call known territory. You'd start reading it and you think, I know this psalm. That's good. And just like us with our bird watching, we know that as we come to Scripture, even when we know it, there are things which we've seen before, and we need to be careful. We see some species quite often. They're still special. They're still God's creation. There's still something about them. Don't despise those things we know, or we think we know. There are also things sometimes, aren't there, when we come to the Word of God, could be true tonight, that in your situation and mine, we're actually would like God just to say something on that particular thing for us. But maybe he's not going to do that tonight. There's things we'd like to see at Titchwell, which we don't. Maybe that's not the time he's going to give you that word. Doesn't mean to say he won't. There are other times, aren't there? And I'm sure that we've all had this experience where we're reading something so well known, and then we just see something, you think, I have never seen that before. Or that has never come to me in that way. And that is so good, isn't it? And I can think of things where other people have been speaking and think, I haven't seen that. And there are particular times when God just comes and brings something out to us, which we may have read many times, and there it is. Bit like the cranes. Psalm 100. Written for the Israelites. Written probably, maybe sung, for their worship. The Israelites, just remind ourselves the context of this psalm, God's chosen people. Maybe they sung this as they were coming into the courts of the temple. We don't know. We can take this psalm as those of us who have put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as his people. Just as this was for the Israelites, they only knew they were writing it for them. It comes to us, God brings it to us, his people, and comes to speak to us. And we're told here, it's been given a title, not part of the scripture, but we've been given a title, a psalm for giving grateful praise. So we're going to look at this together. Verses 1 and 2. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Just notice it's an invitation. Come before him. And actually, it's an invitation to the whole earth. Even then, the whole earth didn't know God. The Israelites did. But this psalm is saying, the whole earth, come before him. In those first two verses, if you had to pick out for yourself key words, what would they be? If you had to pick out key words, what would they be? For me, they would be joy and gladness. And I have to say, that is an area that I have not moved into as I should in his presence or maybe in my life. But those are the two key words for me. I'd like to grow in those. Just supposing, though, just at this time, and we all have times when you're really down, how do you cope with that? Come before him with joy, with gladness. That is the last thing you're feeling. So what do we do? I'm hoping I remember. We'll come back to that. But we all have those situations. And maybe that's where you are now. But come before him with joy, gladness. Verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. This first part of this verse, know that the Lord is God. Notice, it doesn't just say God, the Lord is God. For the Israelites, the Lord, I am. We know they use the word Yahweh, right? I am, present tense. I am the Lord, I am God. And this verse reminds me of that verse in Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. Now, probably for all of us here, we might think, well, actually, I know he's God. So why this verse? Know that the Lord is God. And it seems to me that God is saying, yes, you do know that. But just take a moment, just remind yourself, myself, I am the Lord God. That's who I am. Nothing can change it. I am the Lord God Almighty. And we need to be those that just pause and just remind ourselves, our God, he is the Lord God. It is he who made us. Here's a reminder that you and I, individually, he's our creator. There is no one in his creation like you. There is no one like me. It's his design. And he's pleased with it. He's made you and I in his image, but he's made you, you, and me, me. Now, we know there's sin. That's not the issue here. The issue is, he is our creator, personally. Are you someone, even sometimes, who suffers from low worth? Here's a verse for you. I made you. You are my creation. I'm pleased with that. All that he creates is good. It is he who made us, some verses have, and not we ourselves. And it also occurs to me, in the fact that we're all different personalities, yes, but those of us who put our trust in Christ and hopefully maturing in him, becoming more like him, there is a sense, I was thinking, that actually the way Christ manifests himself in you is special as it is when he's manifesting himself through me. Does that make sense? Yeah? So, we're all witnessing to the same Lord Jesus, we're all trying to be like him, but there's something about you in the way God is working in you and manifesting himself and becoming more like him that is different, in one sense, than in somebody else. His creation. And we're all in different places, which is being different people, that's where he's placed us. We're his creation. It is he who made us, and we are his. Then it says, we are his people. Let's take, we are his. Personal. So for the Christian, we belong to him. Nothing we did, yes, we put our trust in him, but he caused us to come to him, put our trust in him. We belong to him. Isn't that an incredible thought? Who do you belong to? Maybe you have now got no family members. Maybe you have. But nothing can change the fact, when we put our trust in Christ, we belong to him. The Lord God, the Holy One. We belong to him. We are his. Chosen. We are his people. Israel, chosen people. And God's coming to them, and now he comes to us too. We are his people. Us here at CBC, we are his people. Being his people, what's the difference, I'm trusting there really is one, between us here as his people and a different sort of meeting down the road, or people getting together, or whatever? There should be, shouldn't there, and I trust there is, something totally different. Isn't that word in Titus that came to us the other week, that attraction, something, because we belong to him, that makes us different. Something he does. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. I love this phrase. We are the sheep of his pasture. Here, God is saying, I'm the shepherd. Now we know, I'm sure most of us, John chapter 10, when Jesus is speaking, he says, I am the good shepherd. But here, way back in the Old Testament, God is saying, we are the sheep of his pasture. Shepherd. And this is a shepherd that owns the sheep. We've already said, we belong to him. And good shepherds feed their sheep, care for their sheep, rescue their sheep, protect, find pasture for. This is our God. This is what Jesus says himself as well. He knows his sheep. There's a lovely verse in Isaiah 40, which says, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Isn't that a beautiful picture of God the shepherd? Shepherd of our souls. So know that the Lord is God. And here are some things about our relationship with him. Belonging, his sheep, his people. And this is a cause for praise. This is a cause for gladness. Verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. We had that invitation at the beginning, and here it comes again. And I sort of feel this is coming closer now. For the Israelites, they could only go so far in the temple. We can come right into his presence. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks. Praise his name. That invitation. Verse 5. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. We have here three attributes of God. Goodness, love, faithfulness. Now, for some time now, I've been fairly strong, I think, on saying we need to use a word about God of attributes, not his character. The reason I say that is character develops. Character changes. Are you the same, am I, as you were 20 years ago? Hopefully more mature, hopefully wiser, whatever it may be, but you're not actually the same, I'd be surprised anyway, if you were, because characters develop. It's the sort of nature of character, one might say. Attributes are inherent. They are permanent. They are part of, always have been, of whatever. You can have attributes of many things. And God's attributes have always been, they don't develop, they're absolutely perfect, they can't be measured. So, as far as I'm concerned, an important difference. Attributes. And here are three. God is good. It's so simple, isn't it? Just think about it. God is good. Everything he does is good. Everything he does for you and me and will do, it's good. Is it possible for him to do anything which isn't good towards each of us? His love endures forever. How would you define the word endure? You might say it means to continue, to go on, yes? But if something endures, it means it's never affected by anything else. Whatever the nature of this thing we're talking about, before we talk about love, God's love, all right? There's nothing can change it because it endures exactly as it is. It can't be affected. It's not put off course, it endures. And that's God's love. It endures. It's always the same measure, which can't be measured. It's always the same strength. Never changes at all. Constant. Endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Interesting there, the way, isn't it? The psalmist now brings in, if you like, people. Maybe he's talking about previous Israel's generations to the time that it was written. And he's saying, God's faithfulness from that generation to this, to the one I'm in, it's continued. It hasn't thought, I'm not going to be faithful for this generation. I know that sounds a bit silly. But his faithfulness continues through all generations. And however many generations there are going to be, his faithfulness will continue through them all. So here are three things, attributes of our God: goodness, love, and faithfulness. Now the way this psalm is written is invitation to worship, one might say, then some truths about our relationship with God when we put our trust in Jesus, then something about, then praise again, and then closing with his love and faithfulness. We might have thought it might be the other way around, and then here are the things about God and relationship, and then praise. But we're getting it in that particular order. Closing thoughts. We don't need to be told we're in a changing world. However long you and I have been in it, my sort of feeling is that it changes quicker now than it did, but maybe it's always changed at that pace. And a lot of not good change. Seriously, not good. But it's the world we're in. And we're in this moment. We're here now in this changing world. For each of us, we've all had changing circumstances. Maybe in the, even now, our circumstances have been the same for quite a long period. Maybe not. Maybe not. And sometimes our changed circumstances think, that's really good. This is the place I wanted to be, whatever it may be, and they're good. Often, though, the circumstances beyond our control, not welcome. And some of those changes might be temporary. Some are permanent. Some will never change now they've changed to where they are. And God comes to know it himself. In this psalm, maybe familiar to us all, as we've said, and speaks to each of us and says, this is my word. I just want to remind you, I am the Lord God. And that relationship that I brought about between us, as if it, he's saying, you and me, nothing can change it. Whatever the circumstances, nothing will change the fact that you and I, when we put our trust in him, belong to him. He's our shepherd. He's our God. We're secure. We need to hold on to that. Maybe that's difficult sometimes, but it's the truth he's coming to us to remind us of. And the second thing is, as we've said, he comes to remind us he's good. He's loving, he's faithful, and he always will be. He always will be. And those two things, relationship, belonging to him, and the way he is, they're reasons to praise. Reasons for joy. And just come back to that thing I said at the beginning, when we find it really hard to be joyful. And what we need to remember is coming into his presence and that joy for who he is. This is why Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. Whatever the circumstances, can I come to the place where I'm going to be saying, Lord, I'm just so glad of who you are. And I do want to praise, even though I'm finding that just so difficult. You know what a place I'm in, but it's rejoicing who he is, the way he is, and nothing can change it. He is the eternal one. That's the blessing, isn't it, for you and I, of knowing personally that the Lord is God. Let's take a moment to be quiet before our closing song.